We are going today to a very familiar passage of Scripture, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And we are not going to begin reading in Luke chapter 2 at the most usual spot at the beginning of that chapter, but we're going down to the 8th verse of Luke chapter 2. You remember very distinctly those words that we have heard all our lives, so many of us. I remember in elementary school, I went to elementary school so long, long ago. Brother Jerry tells about going to school in a one-room schoolhouse. Well, we had one of those old white clapboard siding elementary schools like were around the country so many decades and centuries ago. And we were actually taught in public school to memorize Scripture. And Luke chapter 2 was one of the passages down through verse 20 that we were given to memorize in public school. And there's been quite a change, not a change for the better in our country in doing away with the Scripture reading and the learning of the Scriptures. And even we had preachers that came and preached. Can you believe it? Even at West Morgan High School, we used to have an assembly that would gather at different times during the year, and they would have a preacher come and preach to us. Oh, that was really something, you know, that right here in Morgan County, Alabama. It's an unthinkable thing now, but thank God for those days. So we'll begin reading here with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 15. And we trust that the Lord will bless these familiar words of the story of our Savior's birth to our hearts this morning. We are looking especially at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It was such a wonderful announcement that night, because that night was not only a very dark night naturally, it was a very dark night spiritually in the world. Even though the Roman Empire had spread out very largely, there was so much paganism, and even among these people who were the professed people of God, there was so much darkness. They were sitting in the shadow of death, as it were. As the crackling of thorns under a pot. So is the laughter of the fool. The wise man tells us in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 6. As the crackling of thorns under a pot, crackling in a fire, so is the mirth and the joy of carnal worldly men. The men of the world do not realize that they are laughing when they really should be lamenting. For their happiness is extremely short-lived. All their laughter shall be forgotten. It'll not only be forgotten by them, but it'll be forgotten by those that come after them. The men of the world are very merry at times, but once they understand their true condition, they will see how hopeless and miserable they are. There are a lot of people that, no doubt, on this Lord's Day morning, are sleeping off their merriment and their excess of laughter and frivolity from the earlier part of the weekend. Well, a pile of dry thorns is consumed in a fire more quickly than you can even say it. I don't know if you have ever had that experience. My daughter recently got me some cracklings from Tennessee. And some of you probably have had crackling bread back years ago, cornbread with cracklings in it. Well, we used to render up lard around the wash pot, and we would make a fire to melt this pork fat, and we'd get the cracklings at the crackling of the thorns under the pot was a very familiar thing to me. If you grabbed up a handful of grass or even some blackberry briars and with your gloves on or some thorns and threw them under the pot, they were gone just instantly. There would be maybe some noise of the crackling of those thorns. There would be a flash of light, but very little heat from them. When the wicked have a merry time, it soon expires. It proves to be desolation rather than consolation. Amos said of the wicked, their sun shall go down at noon. Job said, the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. But we've come to real joy in this verse. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 is a completely different scene. The humble shepherds were shocked by this sudden announcement of joy, the flash of light, the appearance and the voices of angels in the middle of the night. They were glad, though, to learn that the Messiah had come and was the bringer of great joy. So I want us to notice, first of all, from this verse, we see something very different from the world. We see that true joy is preceded by fear. It's the very opposite with the world. Their momentary joy is going to be eternally followed with horrible fear and consternation. But these shepherds, with them, it is with them as it is with us. True joy is preceded by fear. Verse 9 says at the end of it that they were sore afraid. It wasn't that they had gotten a wound in their body, but they were very afraid. They didn't have a sore, but they were very afraid is what it means. And true joy is preceded by fear. The shepherds feared for their very lives. They knew from Hebrew tradition that if you saw supernatural beings, then it wouldn't be long till you would die. That was the teaching of the rabbis. If you saw something supernatural, some supernatural being, then just count on it. You won't be breathing for very long. So they were sore afraid. Now, God did not give them to death. Rather, God had a message of joy for them, not death. Although God does not immediately strike us dead when He speaks to us, when He gives us a message from His holy word, we nevertheless should hear His word as they did, with real reverence, with godly fear. For if we are to receive God's grace, we must freely acknowledge our own wretchedness and our sin before Him. And you know, we cannot be exalted to eternal life unless we are first humbled by God's almighty grace. If we are to truly profit from hearing the voice of God in His Word, then we must realize that it is not the word of men, but it is the voice of the living God Himself, the one before whom every knee must bow in fear and in worship. Each time we hear God's word, or each time we read it, we need to handle His very scriptures with reverence. You know, it's interesting, in false religion, the Muslims would never put their holy book on the floor. And so it, to them, is something of an idol. But we can actually learn lessons from the heathen that we should treat even this very word of God with a reverence and a respect. And you know, when we take up God's word to read it, we are in a very real sense before our God, the judge, in whose sight nothing about us can be hidden. Every minute detail of our lives, Hebrews 4:13 tells us, is naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. At the time of Christ's birth, the Hebrew people were filled with various fears. The Hebrew people back in their land had been conquered once again. They had largely departed from the Lord. They were under His judgment. They were under His curse. And they were under the rule as a subdued, subjugated people with their enemies, the Romans, garrisoned all throughout their country, keeping them in subjection. And they were finding that the Romans were sometimes very cruel conquerors. Therefore, they were a largely joyless and downtrodden people. They were not filled with joy. But here comes the news in the middle of the night, not simply of joy, but great joy. Now, the fact that fear precedes real joy is true in regard to salvation. You know, probably the most familiar song that people know in evangelical congregations would either be Jesus Loves Me or Amazing Grace. I had the privilege of going to my cousin's funeral this week. She was 102, and she had requested that Amazing Grace, at least four verses of it, were sung at her funeral. And Newton wrote in Amazing Grace, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. In salvation, we are brought to fear not only the consequences of our sin, but we are also brought to fear when we see that in our sinfulness, we cannot deliver ourselves even from our sins. We can't stop sinning simply by the determination of our will. We need special grace from God. Well, thank God for fear. Fear precedes true joy. But we see something else here. The Savior has come, and the Savior has come to bring this great joy. Joy that can be experienced in Him. I hope you have joy today. The little children sing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Well, it's good to have the joy down in our heart, and the joy will show, the joy will radiate in our lives when we have it. The angels did not simply say, I've brought you some good tidings of joy. They said, we have good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, Luke's writings are filled with joy more than the other gospel writers. Now, what I'm meaning by that, we have four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And his emphasis on joy is so clear. He wrote also the book of Acts. And we just read there last Lord's Day that there was great joy in Samaria because so many people had come to embrace the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, Luke wrote at the very beginning of his gospel in chapter 1, and verse 14, he told Zacharias that there was going to be great joy because of the birth of his son, John the Baptist. And when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, John's mother, the baby, John the Baptist, leaped for joy in his mother's womb because Mary, who was at that point carrying the Christ child within her womb, as she got near to her cousin Elizabeth, John leaped for joy in his mother's womb. In chapter 10, in Luke's gospel, the 70 disciples that had been sent out two by two came back and they returned with joy, telling what God had done through their ministries. And you're very familiar, aren't you, with the prodigal son in chapter 15. Well, in that chapter, in the other two parables, the scripture tells us there's great joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And wasn't there great joy when the prodigal son came home? There was gladness, and they had a wonderful party at his return. And then near the end of Luke's gospel, in chapter 24 and verse 41, the disciples saw the resurrected Christ. And he showed them the evidence. He said, look at my pierced hands and my pierced feet. And when they saw the evidence, they were astonished and they were full of joy at seeing that. And the scripture says, yet not believing. Now, isn't that mysterious? They were rejoicing. They were so happy to see him pointing to those wounds. But they weren't sure that he was really there. They wanted to touch him. And so Jesus said in the next two verses, verses 42 and 43, he said, if you got some fish, or got some food, and they brought forth some broiled fish, and he started eating it. And what was he showing him? That he had a real material body. I can eat fish just like you can. And so they were filled with joy, even though they were not believing at that point. That's very mysterious. But you know, if we'd been there, we probably couldn't have taken it all in so suddenly as they had to. Because really, even Peter, James, and John, and the rest of them, did not really believe that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And there's another wonderful proof that he did, because they did not believe with the depth of their being that he was going to come out of that grave. And yet when he came out of the grave and their lives were transformed, they went forth giving their lives because they were convinced that he did indeed rise from the dead. Now, this joy of Christ and his gospel is not like the passing happiness of the world. It is a lasting joy. This joy is a joy that will continue to all eternity. Praise God for this joy. This is the joy of salvation. Isaiah said in chapter 12, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. David said, in Psalm 51, he said, the joy of thy salvation. And then Habakkuk 3:18, Habakkuk said, no matter what happens here, I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is a joy that cannot be taken away by circumstances. These tidings were especially good news for us. Let me make that clear. It's especially good news for us. You notice what verse 10 says? The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, let me say this. Every type of Greek text, whether it's the Greek text behind our version or the Greek text behind the modern versions of Scripture, every one of these Greek texts has these words. Here are the words. To all the people. Now you see the article is missing right here. These good tidings of great joy shall be to all the people. It's very important because the good news is especially for God's people, God's believing people. Have you ever noticed the emphasis that the Bible puts on God's believing people? Isaiah 53, verse 8. What did the prophet say of Christ? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. In Matthew 1:21, he shall save all people from their sins. No, it doesn't say that. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says, "In time past, ye were not a people, but now you are the people of God." Who's he talking about? Gentiles. What a blessing it is to be a part of the people of God. I tell you, these good tidings of great joy are not glad tidings of great joy to every person that ever breathed. It was not good news to those that were already in hell that night when the angels appeared to the shepherds out there near Bethlehem. It was not good news to those that were already in hell. It was not good news to those who had never heard and never would have the privilege of hearing. It was not good news to those who died in the universal flood. But it was good news to the shepherds. And it is good news to us that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been born for us and for all who will come to God by Him. He lived for us. He died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin to bring us to God. So I tell you, this news is especially good news to those who hear and believe. For those who believe the message of the gospel, it is good news now, and it will be good news and the source of joy to us for all eternity. Matthew 25:21 says that we will enter into the joy of our Lord. Those who believe, those sheep that are on the right hand, Christ is able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with what? With exceeding joy. Now, wicked men have their cheap thrills now, but their laughter is just like those thorns burning up quickly under a pot, that which is very temporary. But for those who believe the good tidings of great joy, God says at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And we had no claim on God and His blessings because we had forfeited all of God's blessings with our first parents. When they fell into sin, we fell with them. And we richly deserve all the wrath of God and eternal destruction. But Christ has come, and He has brought to us good tidings of great joy and salvation. Now I ask you today, will you take what he brought and what he offers freely to us at his own great expense? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Do you take those good tidings? Do you rest on those good tidings that Christ has come for us? He has come to us. He has come in order to redeem us. I hope you know those good tidings of great joy in your own life by trusting in Him. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank Thee that Thou hast indeed given in this dark world good tidings of great joy. And Lord, we confess that everyone who believes on Thee, everyone who trusts the Savior who has come, has this wonderful good news. And we thank Thee for the joy that Thou dost give us, even in the midst of adverse circumstances. We thank Thee for the joy that is evident even in Thy persecuted people across the world today. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt write the truth of this 10th verse upon our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.